just make sure everyone in the audience, if you're speaking in favor or as opposed to the applications being brought, if you filled out one of these. And then, once again, you can either come up and make a presentation, or you can say, I support or I'm opposed to the application if you're not feeling comfortable. And, you know, lots of times people have the same issues and concerns. So if it's already been addressed in the crowd, you know, feel free to just say support, but you're more than welcome to come up.
No, not right now.
Okay, I don't know if there's a way to turn up our speakers. We'll try and speak louder for you. Footnote. Okay, anytime you guys are ready.
Okay, sorry for the delay. Good evening. We're here tonight for the zoning agreement amendment for 5198 Roblin Boulevard.
Okay.
Before we jump into tonight's zoning agreement amendment, I'm just going to go through a bit of background information on the site as well as our client, since the site does seem to have a lot of history. Our client is Pioneer Petroleums. They are an independent petroleum-based marketer from Ontario. They've been in business for over 50 years. They have about 160 sites in Canada. Here in Manitoba, they have 4 sites that they own and currently operate 6 sites. And in terms of the Roblin and Pepperlo site, this is one of their newest sites, and they're hoping to upgrade the site to serve the needs of the neighborhood. So to start off, here is an aerial photo of our site. It's outlined in the red bounded box. To the north, we have Roblin, and to the west, we have Pepperlo. Roblin is a collector or arterial street, has about 30,000 cars running along it each day, which is about half the amount of Portage Avenue. Our current site looks like this. That's the rear yard right there with the adjacent property. There's no windows on the residential property on that side. Here we have another shot facing Pepperloaf, as well as a shot facing the adjacent commercial development. And right here is the shop facing Roblin. So to give a bit of a background on planning approvals for this site, it has a bit of a long history, so I just wanted to walk the committee through it because it's been a bit of a busy run with planning approvals. It was zoned C1 since 1969. It's been a convenience store and gas station since just about anyone in the neighborhood can remember it. In 2007, MMM Group started working with Pioneer Petroleums on the redevelopment of this site. In 2007, we applied for a rezoning from the site for C1 to C2 because the bylaw had changed for fuel sales. In March of 2008, we had a community open house to let the community know what was going on and show the plans. We also collected comments from the community at that time. We took those comments back, made site plan changes, landscaping changes, moved the site entrance, changed the lighting, and on May 13th of 2008, we actually presented the revised site plan back to the community. In July, the site was rezoned successfully at the Cineboy Community Committee here. In October 2008, we had plan approval. In September, we went for rezoning. Rezoning was adopted by council and had a 24-month time limit. And September of last year, we actually asked for a time frame extension of that 2 years, just due to some unforeseen economic circumstances, and as well as delays with site remediation.
Can I just ask you a question? Can you go back? I think your time extension was later than that, because I was elected because I approved the extension, didn't I?
It was applied for in September, and it came after elections.
Oh, yeah, okay. So to go back, the plan approval then that you did, or March 2008, you did a community open house.
Yeah.
And you presented the same plan. Okay.
Yeah. Send it back.
How many people came to that?
To the original open house or the secondary open house?
The one in March that you had. Either, both of them.
Either one?
The first one and then the revised one.
The first one about 15 people, the second
15?
One 15? 15.
And you invited all of the...
The neighborhood, like we posted the neighborhood, and the second one about 12 people.
It wasn't advertised.
it's their opportunity to speak, so you know, respectfully.
Here is the previous
when
site.
It's your turn to speak. Okay.
Right here, you can see the previous site. It's been since torn down, but we thought we'd put up some pictures. Again, this is a photo looking eastbound on Roblin. And again, another one. This is looking south on Pepper Road. And again, looking towards the commercial development. Here is the site plan we originally proposed at the first open house we had with the community. As you can see, the convenience store, and there was a restaurant closed at the time, was pushed against the existing commercial. So there's a Royal Bank and a Cosmos there. It was pushed towards there. Parking was along the residence property, and then there was a proposed gas bar in the center. We took the changes from the community, and we actually moved the building, moved the pumps, moved the garbage enclosure, moved the access, and this is what was finalized, what we came up with, and presented back to the community. And we received comments during our open house. 1,000% better was one of the comments. Thank you for the opportunity to consult. I'm happy to keep the Esso station in our community and neighborhood. And nice to see the comments about the new layout we'll listen to. Those are three of the comments we received. Here's the post site.
Missy, just a question for you. So that was the previous during the last public hearing.
Yeah.
So have you guys had a public hearing on this as well? A consultation? Because I know this application is really just about the change of the hours and the lighting stuff. So
I'm just sort of going through how we've been working with the community.
Yeah,
so this is the proposed site when it's going to be finalized, inside of the store. And here we are today for the zoning agreement amendment. So we're requesting a zoning agreement amendment because the conditions were placed during the rezoning process. In March 2011, like I said, we had applied for the rezoning, and there was conditions placed during this time that all exterior lighting must be shut off between the hours of 10:30 p.m. and 6:30 a.m., and the hours of operation were different at 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So the hours of operation must be between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m.
I'd like to make a comment on that. With the process that's available here, we went through our presentation, and then there was the community came up and voiced their opinion, and we came back and did a rebuttal on obviously to summarize everything. At that point, the council at the time, Mr. Bill Clement, rest his soul now, came back with a proposal of these kind of what I would call weird hours of the lights on at 6:30, but you can't open till 7. And just to clarify that for everybody, what was happening previously before we Pioneer took over the property as a lease and before we ended up buying it after it was closed down, the operator at the time was trying to serve some of our regular customers by opening up a little early. And hence, I think Bill took that as what he wanted as the bylaw. But I think we all realize at the end of the day that if you turn the lights on, you're open. Otherwise, you have people coming in, you're not turning the pumps on, they take off, and then it's not good for anybody. But I just want to clarify, that's how that evolved. And when Bill made that comment, there was no really any chance to correct it. And the other thing was the square footage of the food offer, which was not a big scenario there. But I just want to clarify to everybody that that was not the original intent. I think there's some concern on
To be fair, though, we're not talking about here this hearing, right? We're just talking about the hours.
No, I'm saying, but it comes back to the hours and why that goofy layout for lack of a better description is 6:30 and 7 over.
Right.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
So 6:30 lights went on, 7 it was supposed to be.
So the reasons we're here today for the zoning agreement amendment are to extend the hours to better serve the community's needs and to remain competitive in the marketplace. So here's a map, actually an aerial photo showing the main competitors. We have one being the Shell gas station at 6620 Roblin, and the second being the co-op at 3425 Roblin as well.
You guys are in the middle?
We're in the right, where the thumbtack is.
Right, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
In terms of connecting with the community, like you asked, how do we connect with the community? Before submitting the zoning agreement, we actually sent flyers directly to the community in the area outlined in the red box.
Okay.
And we sent them to the flyer that's on the right-hand side right there. And we asked for comments and feedback from the community about the proposed development and also to let them know what was going on. We didn't try and fly anything underneath the radar or make an application without letting them know. So some of the comments we received, we actually only received a handful of comments. They were about late-night noise, concerns about late-night noise. concerns that we're asking for something, for instance, to be competitive, but yet the co-op in the neighborhood nearby is not 24 hours. Concerns about youth congregating at night, and also concerns about lighting. So in response to those comments we received, our client's proposing anti-idling and noise signage in the parking lot to help mitigate noise and sign concerns. There'll be increased security, obviously, with cameras, and there'll be better views from the windows from within because it's a completely new site, better sight lines. Also, in terms of lighting, a lighting study was completed, and it's to the city standards. There's no lighting that actually goes off the property. They've also offered to conduct a survey with area residents 3 to 6 months after the development is operational to see if there's any concerns or to offer up the district manager's phone number or direct contact so they can voice their concerns if something comes up. So having direct communication with the property owner. Okay. So that's it. Do you have any questions?
Okay. Why didn't you do any public consultation?
We did. We sent out flyers to community residents.
Why did you not hold a public consultation? You held one in 08, 07. Why did you not do another one? You might have got a handful of calls. I got over 20 in opposition around when your flyer went up. You know, I'd like to see this happen. I just did an interview with the local paper saying, you know, business is hurting and will hurt even more once the seasons of Tuxedo and everybody else has developed on McGillivray. And, you know, I just don't think people were consulted. We've got 20 people here today. Did you plan to do one? Or
We went above what's actually called for. There's nothing saying that we had to consult with the public. We actually did that out of the best interest of the development by sending out a flyer. We actually sent out two flyers and making sure that our names are there so we can get in contact with them. Like I said, we only received a handful of calls, so if the community did have concern, they should have been responding to that flyer and letting us know. If there would have been a big enough job, maybe it would have warranted a public open house, but it's only two issues, lighting and hours of operation.
But it's big to this area, I think.
The other thing on the map that was that showed the red outline of the neighborhood community area, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the area that the flyers were circulated to.
Yes.
Because that's the core of the business. Mm-hmm. But I think we had this discussion previously that after the first two community centers, because we had 22 and 12.
We had such so few turnout that it didn't seem.
So we kind of threw it out there, and we looked at another medium, something that's new enough. We didn't make a Facebook page, but we looked at another alternative to try to get the feedback. And that was the route we tried to go with.
And the site's been posted with a huge sign for well over 21 days. It was also in the newspaper, so it has been publicly out there.
No, not really at this point. I mean, you know, initially we came because, you know, I was part of those public hearings, of course, and so it was decided. And so did you wait the 2 years, or did you want, like, I mean, you brought it back now to go 24 hours? Obviously, it hasn't, you know,
well,
it's not an operation. How did you decide, I guess, to bring it back? Because the decision was already made kind of a year and a half ago.
When we, Imperial Oil, abandoned Winnipeg, they got out of retail areas. And other than the exception of Toronto GTA and Vancouver being one, the larger areas they had enough site they can control, they want to be there. And they portioned off all these what they call RBD areas, that's what they call retail brand distributors. Okay. Pioneer Petroleum was offered in Manitoba.
Right.
So we came in, did our due diligence on X number of sites at that time. Now we have 11,
yep.
Soon to be 12. Plus another one out in Equal as an opportunity to grow our business out there and report, you know, and report to our investors that we're making some money. So part of the deal was we got an offer to purchase on Robin Pepperell.
Yeah.
Imperial Oil will not sell a property unless it's clean.
Yeah.
There was a previous environmental issue there. They won't admit to it, but that's why they had the vapor extraction set up on the property line.
Right.
They went in, so once the deal was made, they went in and cleaned it up. Well, it took them about 6 months rather than 4 months, what normally takes.
Right.
In fact, they even went back a second time because some of the results did not meet their criteria. That prolonged the closing side.
Right.
And I think that came right around October. I could be corrected on that. But we all know winter construction in Winnipeg is not a fun matter.
Right.
So we got delayed. We brought it back on the table for construction. Another opportunity came up that we could not turn down. So the money got shifted. Okay. And it happened to be this one open equal one.
Sure.
So now the funds were back.
Right.
We started going through this, but as everybody knows, the price of gasoline is through the roof these days.
Right.
And because we buy in the open market from Imperial Oil,
yeah,
our margins have gone down. So we're looking to try to get an advantage of how we can get a better return on our investment. One of the ways is potentially opening 24 hours. I know there's some concern.
What percentage of your business do you take from the nighttime hours, like from 11 till 6?
I did some numbers, and to be honest with you, I didn't bring them for the obvious reason. It varies by site.
Yeah.
Depending on whether it's an arterial road, whether it's commercial around it, is there a large event nearby?
Yeah.
For instance, the Blue Bombers get out at midnight, then
right,
you're obviously going to be busy.
Right. Yeah.
So I really couldn't find one that matched just quite right.
Right.
But more importantly, what's happened with a site that's 24 hours, these hours between 9, 10, and 11, or 10, 11, and 12, are busier than a standard site that's closing on a percentage basis.
Okay.
Because people go to the site, they know they, it's going to be open.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens in the morning from 6, 7, and 8. If you're driving to work, and we all know heat doesn't mean enough, you're looking for a place to get fuel. Is this site open or not? Well, if it's 24 hours, you know it's there. Or is it opening at 7 or 7:30? So there's you roll that all in, you know that those wee hours in the morning between 1 and 5, for instance, we don't do a heck of a lot of business. But it's what we generate 3 or 4 hours beforehand and afterwards, which is critical to drive time. We all know Winnipeg is a very multicultural center with blue-collar and white-collar. So you have to shift workers going to work early in the morning and ones coming home late at night. Petroleum purchase is usually on the way home, only because when you're on the way to work in the morning, everybody's fighting to get there on time. So if you look at all our business sense, that's what we've come back with.
Yeah.
That's why we're asking to go with this 24 hours to give us hopefully more volume, hopefully not just the gas, but inside the store. Development as a neighborhood convenience center.
Yeah.
Because right now, if I'm not mistaken, there is nothing else in the area between the two outlets. I'm going to be corrected on that, I know that.
Sure.
And I don't live here, and I apologize for that. But we want to make it the neighborhood convenience store that if you do need a bag of milk or whatever, it's there. You know we can come to us, not the Shell or the Co-op.
Okay. Just on one final point, you said there's a difference between the hours, what was approved when the lights would go on, versus when you can actually sell pop or buy gas or whatever else. Right? 6:30 and 7 is the time where you can...
Well, the way the bylaw was written previously, that the lights would come on at 6:30 a.m.
Right.
To me, I could be wrong here, that if I drive by a station, I see all the lights on, that tells me it's open.
Okay.
Whereas if it's the lights were not on, you'd be driving through.
Right.
I don't know of any other...
Okay.
You know, Bill was an excellent counselor.
Yes.
He represented constituent. That kind of we didn't select both.
Okay, well, that's fine. You know, we'll ask the administration a question on that after the fact. And is there any other questions right now?
Yeah, I have another question. Supposing you don't get 24-hour approval here, are you still going to proceed with the store and gas bar?
Yes. That's the plan right now. Having said that, I have to go back and report on what the outcome is, obviously, and people are looking for a return on investment. So we all know it's getting harder and harder every day.
Mm-hmm.
This site right now... It's going to cost us $2 million.
Did you do any sort of a feasibility study on this area?
From a fuel and
from a corporate viewpoint?
When we came out here originally 5 years ago, we did our due diligence in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason we bought that is we knew it was hopefully going to be a good site. When we operated for, I think, 14 months, we leased up on Imperial Oil. They didn't want to deal with the day-to-day operations of it, so they gave it to us because we're already out here anyway. And we realize it has potential. And personally, I think it's going to have great potential because I've heard rumors of a new power center for the 19 down the road. But now with the
No, we're having one. With all due respect, you'll have your time.
I'm hearing this piecemeal, but there's potential for commercial development along there, increased traffic too. You've got the jets coming, or whatever they're going
to
be called.
That's why she moved back to Winnipeg, or moved to Winnipeg.
Exactly.
We got NHL coming back.
That's right. You've got the jets, or whatever they're going to be called, coming back. And I heard through the grapevine that potentially a rec center possibly being built where their practice center is going to be out in the Charlottesville area also. So there's all these things that start adding up now that, we want to be there.
Yeah.
And going out on a limb here, too, the sales of that site previously being self-serve and a full-serve were pretty decent. And we feel with this layout that we have, it's not the preferred one, but the one we have, we will exceed those sales. The store sales inside were good. And I think with the new on-the-run program that they have in the period of oil, we'll even excel further.
I'm good. Any other questions, Councillor? Well, okay, so that's great. Thank you for your presentation, and we'll get you, once again, we'll call you back, and you can respond to any concerns that are raised here. Is there anyone else in the audience here to speak in favor of the changes to existing zoning bylaw that's there? Okay, zoning agreement. No one's in favor? Okay, we'll call now people that are in opposition.
Just a note on the building. Three letters in opposition, which I printed and is in front of you.
Okay, 3 letters in opposition. So I'm not sure if there's someone, a leader. Sorry? Absolutely, yeah, we'll just get you one here. Now, I'm not sure if there's a leader in the group that wants to do a main presentation. So if you want to do that, that'd be great. And your name is, sir?
Oh,
okay, Larry?
I can start.
Sure, Larry, okay, start. And sure. You know, we're going to just take a 2-minute bathroom break. Set up here, sir, and we'll be set right away. And you're Larry Billis?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll take just a 2-minute break. Okay, you can speak. Thanks. So let's take a 2-minute adjournment here for a bathroom break.